contracts with service companies, it does not necessarily imply, as Mr. Scherer indicated, that there's going to be better claims processing as a result of those contracts being let by the insurance company. The insurance company is controlling how the claim is processed and paying for the process. If there are bad claims processors, then they can equally be just as bad as claims processors by virtue of letting a contract to a service company. Letting a contract to a service company does not ensure better claims processing. And that completes my
testimony. I think that's safe to say on anything. No guarantees, is that right? Representative Domini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Young, one of the things you pointed out in your testimony is something that concerned me, and that dealt with staying in Oregon or keeping headquarters in Oregon is something that you felt was very important. If we could address that in the legislature and how we put this thing together, how would you like to see that done to assure that that at least there's offices in Oregon so that we can keep some kind of a handle on it? How would you see that happening?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Domini, I'm not sure we're saying that the in-state location is critical. What we are saying is we have to know where the claims and the records are so that when we do audit, so when we want to find out how why a time loss hasn't been paid timely, why the vocation rehabilitation isn't being done, that we know immediately where the person is that's processing that claim. And as you expand that number by virtue of having an insurer have as many service companies, then keeping record of where that is and getting that information as soon as possible and the worker knowing who is processing his claim is what's important. And as you expand that, the number of service companies, then you have more information to maintain and more records to be kept as far as where they're at. And it's just very expensive for the system.
As a follow-up.
Go ahead, Sam.
If the employer were required to keep those records of all of those records within one office, would that, no matter who all they've contracted out, would that resolve your...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Domini, I'm not sure that they would be able to do it in that fashion. It would not be active records if it were that way. Because in theory, you have under this process, what could happen? An insurance company could have for one employer, they could have a service company providing processing claims. For another employer, they could have a service company processing claims. For another employer, they could have a service company processing claims. Or for groups of employers. So you have to keep track of where those are at. Now, if they kept all those records, while time loss is due right now, they make a payment, and those records are kept elsewhere. If it isn't paid right now, you still have to go back to that location to find out why it isn't being paid. The worker needs someone to call. We need someone to call or contact of what's going on. The in-state location was basically because we couldn't find anyone back east that cared about what the heck we were doing. When we would call back, as soon as you get outside of Oregon, they could care less about what was happening in Oregon. So the in-state location is important for that purpose. But just the multiple locations where it gets really breaks down for people trying to process claims or find out where the hell a claim is. Excuse my language. Where the heck a claim is.
Don't get emotional here, Larry. Don't worry. Be happy. We're not going to have stress this session.
Oh, I don't
here.
Have to.
Okay. Did you have any more questions, Representative Domini? Representative Mannix and Representative Durfler.
Thank you. Mr. Young, without being too pushy, aren't we talking about administrative convenience when we talk about your testimony today?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mannix, yes. We are talking, but we're not solely talking about...
Now, let's talk about... May I follow up with three or four questions?
Ahead.
In this computer age... Every employer is required, when a worker reports an injury, to file an 801. Give the worker a copy and give you a copy. Is that right?
That's correct. As far as disabling claims are concerned, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Maybe we should include non-disabling if we're worried about tracking on this. Here's a thought. I'd like your reaction to this. if we're talking about being able to track locations, and I, by the way, I think everyone on this committee is probably sensitive to the concern about a location in Oregon or some Oregon-based location. That's fine. I think we can work on that. Couldn't you simply require that the employer have on that form that there be a space to designate who is the responsible processor for this claim, what is the name, address, and telephone number of the boogeyman, and then you just follow the boogeyman for the life of that claim. I shouldn't use that term. That's unfriendly.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mannix, currently there are 67,000 employers covered in the state of Oregon, not counting the 145 self-insured employers. And yes, we could. We could keep track of every one of it. But we can't guarantee you, in meeting our responsibility to supervise and enforce the workers' compensation laws, that time loss checks will be adequate, timely, and et cetera. And that's really what we're talking
about. Okay, now you're talking about the audit function, about performance by these companies. You talked about audit by location. Wouldn't audit by company be more appropriate anyway? We're concerned with XYZ company or ABC company. Take a look at their statistics from the myriad of forms that they have to file, and things don't look right. Send out a hit team of auditors to find out if things are right or wrong.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mannix, it's the audit involves more than we don't have that large team to go everywhere.
Maybe we
everywhere.
Ought to give it to.
Well, that's another issue. But we're talking about the cents per day monies, the retroactive reserve reimbursements we talked about, those kind of audits have to be conducted. And those are taken off, come off of the claim. The claim is the focus point of all these activities. And the claim has the stat cards in it that keeps all the records of the payments that go to NCCI. So they're there. Mr. Chairman, I want to make it clear, this is not something we can't do. I mean, they're just, I mean, you can do anything. We can do it. Well, I know you know it. But I mean, this is something that's physically impossible, and that's certainly not my testimony today, Mr. Chairman. It's just, I'm just telling you what the consequences are.
Then let's put it back in perspective. The department's main concern is its capability to make sure that the people it regulates are able to are doing their job properly and performing and carrying out your audit function, your oversight function. That is the main concern, and that ties in with the need to have an in-state location of some kind or in-state central basic address. But otherwise, the competitive aspects are not a concern of yours.
Mr. Chairman, I have not seen any information that would show that there's any lack of competitiveness because of this particular, that this will solve that problem.
Well, did you hear my questions earlier of Mr. Shearer about the idea of, say, a big company wants to try out another small company to do some servicing to see if they can do a good, better job for their workers? Right now, they can't test them out under the one-unit rule, can they?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Durfler had a question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to know that the purpose of the bill is to increase competition and to lower the cost. Would you agree that this bill would accomplish that? You're also concerned about keeping records. What would that increase of record keeping relate to as far as costs are concerned in your department?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Durfler, the cost I'm talking about is just the administrative cost that Representative Mannix spoke to. Representative Mannix mentioned the need to change the forms to keep track, so there'd be system changes on the information systems, keeping track of that, being sure they're updated. The audit functions of going out and doing physical audits or having all the material submitted to us, which would be the alternative on a situation like that. They'd have to dummy up the files and send them to us, or we'd have to go out to various locations. So we got just the transportation costs, et cetera, et cetera. And basically, I'm probably going to be wearing a black hat a lot of times I'm coming over here because we really care about our administrative cost. And we care about the cost of workers' compensation in the state of Oregon. And unless we can see that it's going to reduce the cost or be better for the cost, we're probably going to come over and speak against it. And that's just all I'm here for.
But would this bill reduce the cost, in your opinion?
I can't see where it would, because they'd have insurance company would have two companies then, and that's what you're talking about. that requires more overhead. That overhead has to be paid by someone.
So your opinion that this bill wouldn't do any good to reduce the cost of workers' comp?
I have not been able yet to see that, and as I started out my testimony, we can't really find what it is doing. But this bill, as it is currently written, we cannot see that it will reduce the cost of workers' compensation.
One of the things, Larry, before I call on the other people, we've talked about, and certainly the bill alludes to the fact that, and it's been mentioned several times in here, a situation where the employer selects, and I'm talking just private insurers now, not self-insured. I don't envision a situation where ABC Insurance comes into Oregon, writes 400 policies, and allows the employers that they're writing with to just go and select a service company. And that's very poor business. I can't imagine an insurance company allowing a situation like that. I mean, they would have to have at the discretion of the carrier. They're the ones that have the, they have to pay the claims and, the bottom line. They're the ones that are underwriting and doing the actuary work. So I think that if that's certainly something that wasn't intended. But you're correct. It is in the bill and properly noted that that would have to be changed. But with that, I think Representative Whitty and then Donnie, did you have one? Go ahead, Representative Whitty.
Larry, you said that you're very concerned about your administrative costs, and I believe you, and we are too. Are there any national comparisons on a per claim basis of administrative costs in other states so we could see what they are? I mean, I'd like to know where Oregon stands.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Whitty, that's a good question. I don't have any on the top of my head, but I'll sure look into it.
Would you do that?
Sure.
Thanks. And Mr. Chairman, just a comment. I can't understand. I can't really believe, in this computer age. I mean, I can understand in the 30s and 40s, maybe the 50s and 60s, maybe even the 70s, where claims could get lost. But I can't really believe in this computer age that you couldn't call one location to find out where that claim is. I mean, if that's the case, then whatever the service companies are that are hired by these insurance companies, they're certainly not very capable. But I understand the number that you believe could be created by this legislation, and the fact that is there any place in the United States where we have multiple service companies running around in the state you painted a pretty bad picture. Is that picture available anywhere, or is that just
Mr. Chairman, Representative Whitty, I really don't know. I haven't looked at. I would assume somewhere there has to be a really limited control over how you become a service company, what constitutes a service company, licensing for service companies, mm-hmm. and et cetera, that would put some kind of control on it. There is not that in Oregon's. And as the chairman said, it just becomes one of the insurance companies. Control of the insurance company, whether or not they want to go to that expense. Mm-hmm. The most that I've seen a problem with the whole situation is national accounts, where we're aware there ever been a problem, and that'll be a national company, insurance company, who wants to get an account, and they'll specifically say, I want XYZ service company to process my claims in Oregon. And the insurance company will say, well, I'm already in Oregon, so I can't handle that. I can't get the account because I can't have another location, another adjuster. Mm-hmm. That is the only problem that I'm aware of, that as far as competitiveness, that hurts a lot of insurance companies. But that could be solved much easier than or less with less effect than what this bill particularly does. But I don't know what the other states do as far as controlling their service companies.
Representative Dominey, you have a question.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I guess mine is kind of a follow-up in this whole area about what the cost may be or may not be. And I guess my concern is that we're not just doing something to open up a whole bunch of new jobs for some people in the insurance companies. I think if we're going to do something with workers' comp, it should be to save money. And from what I'm hearing from you right now is there may be an additional administrative cost. And what I'd like to ask the chair is has there been any kind of financial impact done on from both ends to see if we can save? I think before we can deliberate on this, I'd need to know from his perspective how much the department figures it'll cost administrative costs, and I can see some additional administrative costs. And what might we save on the other end in a reduction because of the competition? That's the only place I can see any reduction is because we'd have competition. And what I would like to see before I feel comfortable making a decision on this is an analysis, both from Mr. Young and from someone else as to what we may or may gain or not gain out of this. I don't want to do this just because it'd open up a door for some more insurance companies. I like small business and all of those kinds of things, but just open it up and we may not save money on workers' comp premiums is not a realistic thing to do. So I would assume before we take any kind of action, we get some kind of a physical impact.
Yeah, I think Representative Witte was on the same line there, and perhaps, Larry, you can give us a breakdown of your current costs of your audits. And
Mr. Chairman, there is a physical impact statement is being prepared by is required, so it's somewhere in the works and should be over to committee.
I hope it'll be prepared in such a manner, Larry, that we can take the data. I'm assuming it obviously it's on the written bill, and take a look at when we get that physical impact statement. We can be able to tell by perhaps limiting it to just Oregon in-state service companies, or limit the number of service companies that an insurer could use, that we could then track that.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix, then Representative Dorfler.
I concur in Representative Dominey's concerns and Representative Witte's concerns. I'd supplement that too, though, by reminding myself and hopefully others that there's another factor here, and that is the quality of the service that the injured worker gets. And from my own experience, there are a couple of claims processing companies in this state that do a lot of business that some of the people that work with them might like to have a chance to try out some other service providers to see if they can do a better job for their own workers. And whether or not they save in the money, some employers are conscientious enough to be concerned about, geez, are we really doing the job for our people when they get their time loss checks routinely late and so forth. And I don't want us to forget that focus, too.
That's a very good point. I think the employer community is becoming much more conscious of the claims handling aspects, thank goodness, than they used to be. Well, a roughing contract for mine. He went up with a... Well, they had to throw him out of the office. I'll just leave it at that. Representative Dorfler.
I'd like Mr. Young to make a comment. Mr. Shearer mentioned that losses have increased 18% a year because management is not controlling the claims, and the self-insured have been able to have less than half the number of claims.
Half the cost.
Mr. Chairman, I don't doubt those figures at all, but I would really question whether or not there are any. It could be claims management. It could be strictly associated with good claims management. But there are other factors involved in the whole spectrum of the workers' compensation system. And the number of claims you have to accept, and again, it comes down to examinations, the ability to process the claims. And the self-insurers have always stayed more on top, have much better information concerning compensability of claims and those issues for their claims volume. So there's no question that the self-insurers have a better incurred losses percentage than the insurers. But whether or not, if you could guarantee, and this is the point Representative Mann is making, if you could guarantee that all the service companies these insurers were going to give were going to be the ones that did the excellent, exceptional job of claims processing, then there might result that kind of savings. But with the way it's written, you can't guarantee that that's going to happen. Anybody can process and become a service company.
But would the possibility of that happen, or would we have an improvement in that situation if we allowed that?
I'm sorry, I didn't question again, please.
Well, you're saying potentially we could improve the handling of claims. Would this bill provide that? Would that help in that direction? I heard you say a minute ago that this bill is really not going to reduce the cost of claims. But would the possibility exist that we could improve that?
Not as the bill is currently written, as far as my opinion.
What would you like to see the bill change so that would possibly make an improvement?
Mr. Chair, can I have some time to think about that and come back?
That's probably an unfair question. At this point, he's adamantly opposed to it. So.
Most aggressive I've seen in years, I think.
He'll come around. Yeah.
I can come with some ideas before the committee. If this, you know, with this.
No, all kidding aside, Larry, if there are no more further questions, I'd like to spend some time with you. You know, there's always a way to do something, and it's just how do we do it and what is the goal, assuming that this is a noble effort, that we do make it so it's manageable and... Certainly, we don't need to add any costs. I'd like to think that the legislation in its final form would help, particularly on that claims management end that I'm sensitive to, and on also to the competition angle. It was my personal experience this summer that despite what we hear, there isn't any competition out there. There really isn't, and these employers in this state are just being bent over on their workers' comp and need some options. Further comments, questions of Mr. Young? Thank you. Mr. Douglas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rob Douglas, representing the Oregon Self-Insurers Association, and these are the employers in Oregon that do self-insure for workers' compensation. We started to take a look at this bill from a somewhat different angle. Initially, we were looking at legislation and still are looking at legislation that would ease the administrative burdens on self-insurers and allow them to self-insure a little bit more easier. We endorse this bill, however, because we do think it brings a very needed element to the service company area, and that is competition. Representative Durfler, in response to some other comments, was concerned about the quality and what would ensure that these companies would provide good claims management and good quality. And we think that competition and those free market forces would encourage them to provide the best service available. And if they did not, in fact, provide that service, a carrier or self-insured employer would be free to switch and would have some people to choose from when they decided to make that switch. Oregon, as was mentioned earlier, is only one of three states that does not allow this. Our experience with the Workers' Compensation Department and the Compliance Division has been that they are very effective. They do a very thorough audit process, and we do not feel standing outside the department that this would be an unmanageable burden for them. They certainly have the expertise to perform that function right now. Be happy to answer any questions or any comments you may have.
Questions of Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Woody.
Rob, right now the claims process with self-insurers is accomplished by the self-insurers themselves with their own employees?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Whitty, basically the self-insured employer has two choices, and okay, that is actually to do that all in-house or contract with a service company, and I believe there are three, four, maybe five or six of those that operate in Oregon today.
How many of your self-insurers, if I might, Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
How many of your self-insurers contract with service companies at this point?
Rather than make a guess, Representative Woody, I'd like to come back to that information. I think the majority do, in fact, go with service companies.
Would you say then maybe the larger ones do it in-house, and some of this, as you get down the line, they use service companies?
I would say that some of the larger, more sophisticated would do it in-house. In general, though, I would agree with the earlier comments. Self-insured employers do, I think, tend to stay a little bit closer to the whole claims management process than folks that go with carriers.
Representative Dalmany.
Yes, Mr. Douglas. Yes, you know, to follow up what we've been discussing about service and about cost, what would be your perception if an employer could save money for service? Which one would he buy?
I think there's a possibility in this type of legislation to actually get both, to get better service through competition and at a reasonable price.
You don't believe they would look at costs before they looked at service?
I think if you ignore service, you're going to find your costs are going to go up. If you don't stay right on top of that claims management process, long run, you may save some money short run, but long run, I think it's going to be rather expensive.
Representative Johnson.
Rob, the comment's been made a number of times about maintaining these records in-state. Do you have any problem with that as a part of the statute that says that the records cannot be maintained outside the state?
Representative Johnson, I'd really rather defer that answer until I find a little bit more about it. I don't know if that would be enough to bring the kind of competition we feel is needed to this area. I'd like to ask some questions about that.
I think it's one of the key factors in this proposal is that particular issue. So I'd like to hear back from you.
I had a question, Mr. Douglas. The department was, quote, very opposed to the self-insured section of the bill. Would it be current practice out there, are your clients, if we were to pass the bill as drafted, would you, do you think that your clients would select a multitude of service companies, or would they stay, currently they have to pick one? And I guess that's, if I'm reading this correctly, and Mr. Young can correct me if I'm wrong, but apparently their concern is additional locations would cause an unmanageable workload. Is this necessary in the bill, or do they desire additional service companies for the same company? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I think there would be some experimentation where you might have two service companies performing the function for a self-insured employer, and you could measure that performance. I think that's something they definitely want to take a look at, and that should remain an element of this legislation. I would just echo Mr. Young's statements. They do right now conduct very extensive audits of self-insured employers. They are very thorough. We've had some negotiations with the department on this subject before. They are examined really very closely right now. There are only 149 self-insured employers. I'd like to see more in the state of Oregon. I don't think it would be an unmanageable burden, again, not being in the department, I can't say for certain, to expand that a little bit. And I'm not sure every self-insured employer would necessarily take advantage of this bill. They may just be very happy with the service company they have now and stick with it.
Right now they have the ability to fire their service contractor. Absolutely. And move.
Occasionally, especially with the public entities, you'll actually see a bid process.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Further questions of Mr. Douglas?
Oh, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hayden.
Rob, you've heard Larry testify as to the potential increased administrative costs in doing this. Do you have any ballpark long shot opinion as to whether it might minimally reduce the overall cost of the entire program?
Well, Representative Hayden, it's certainly our hope that it would be a cost savings to the employers who self-insure and be cost savings to employers who do not self-insure. We were talking earlier in the audience about putting together some numbers just for self-insured employers to try and show you what we think that range would be. I can't speak to the department's administrative expense.
Okay.
One final question, Mr. Douglas. When it could be one of your folks, it could be a private carrier, assigns their work to a service company, does that mean everything goes to that service company? Talking loss control. We've talked about claims handling here, but there are a lot of other functions that an insurer typically does the service company do all of that? And what's does the self-insured employer reserve anything?
Mr. Chairman, very frankly, that really varies employer to employer. Some employers keep very, very close contact with their service company and try and do a greater percentage of those tasks in-house. Work very closely with the service committee company and demand certain types of services from that service company. Other employers have a little different attitude and feel that's not their business, that's not what they do best, and they give the service company much more leeway.
Okay. So by contract, you would decide who's going to do what?
Right.
Okay. That's all I had. Anybody else for Mr. Douglas? Thank you.
Thank you.
We had one more person signed up to testify, Mr. Moore.
Thank you. My name is Robert Moore. I represent the Oregon Workers' Compensation Attorneys.